So we're in this whole series called Magnify for the year. That's it, for the year. This is what church is going to look like. It's going to get a bit fuller, okay? We don't look to the things which are seen, but magnify. We magnify the Lord. And we started off the year looking at how we magnify him in our worship. Remember, we shared a little bit, and Shanae shared a little bit as well. It was fantastic. And now we're on another sort of mini-series on the Word of God. And a couple of weeks ago, we shared on what is the Word. And last week, Pastor Chris shared a fantastic word on the Word is truth. The Word is truth. If you haven't listened to them, if you've missed them, go onto the website, go onto the app, but listen to them. Or else there's a link on the email. You just have to click on the link and you can listen to them again. And today, we're going to look at another aspect of the Word of God. And we're going to look at an analogy. It's actually a parable about the condition of our hearts. Our heart's response to the Word of God. You know, and there's a scripture in James that says, receive with meekness the implanted Word of God, which is able to save your soul. So that word implanted means engrafted. Allow the Word of God to become flesh in your life. So why? Because this Word of God, this Word has the power in seed form. It comes to us in seed form, but it has the power to transform our lives. I don't know who came up with this expression, but you hear it all the time, that one word from God will change your life forever. That's all that's needed, is that one word will change your life together. So we need to learn how to receive the Word, not only receive it, but to retain it, to keep it, hide it in our hearts, retain the Word of God. And like we shared the whole of last year, allow that Word to become rooted, that our lives become rooted in the Word of God. So the title of today's message is called Good Soil. Good Soil. Have we got the good soil up? Yes, that's brilliant. Isn't that good? Nice and bright and yellow. Good soil. And in order to do this, we're going to look at a parable, well-known parable. Don't shut down. Don't think, I've heard this, I know it. No, there's always more we can learn, okay? But we're going to look at a parable taught by Jesus, and appears in three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We're looking at Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 2 to 9. And the scripture is going to come up there on the screen. It says this, then he, that's Jesus, taught them many things by parables. Do you know what a parable is? Yes, thank you, I see that nod. An earthly story that has a heavenly meaning. That's what a parable is. And he said to them in his teaching, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened, as he sowed, that some seed fell by the wayside. And the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed, hallelujah, fell on good ground, yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So in my Bible, this parable, at the top of the page, it calls it the parable of the sower. But that word was put in to my Bible by the publisher, and it's incorrect, because this parable is not actually about the sower. Throughout those those 8 verses that we've just read, there's only, it's the same sower. It's the same sower. It's the same person. Constantly it says, and as he sowed. Also, this parable is actually not about the seed. Even though the seed is important, but it's not actually about the seed. And the Bible says, throughout that scripture, it says, some seed fell by the wayside, some fell on the stony ground, some fell amongst thorns, and so forth. It's the same seed. So you've got a sower sowing seed. He doesn't have multiple bags, I'm just picturing this, of different seed. He's sowing the same seed. So it's the same seed. So it's the same sower, and it's the same seed. But this parable is actually about the soil of the heart. It's about the condition of the heart. But in order for us to dig into the, excuse the pun, dig into this soil parable, okay, in order for us to dig into it a little bit, we've got to understand that all three ingredients are actually needed. We need a sower, we need the seed, and we need the soil. Thank you. Thank you, Stephen. So in this parable, though, the seed is the Word of God. And the Word of God comes to us in seed form. Look at 1 Peter 1:23. 1 Peter 1:23 says this. Having been born again, that's us, that's all of us. Yes, praise God, that's all of us. Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. The Word of God is incorruptible. It's incorruptible. It's non-perishable. It lives forever. There's no expiry date. There's no expiry date. That's amazing. When you think you've received the Word of God, that's it. Forever. That Word is in you. That lives. That Word lives forever. And sometimes, you know, this Word will like pop out and you think, where did that come from? It was in you. You heard it, you read it, you've meditated on it at some point, but it's got to come. It comes out. It lives forever. So the God's Word comes to us in seed form. And don't underestimate the power of a seed. Don't underestimate the power of a seed. You know, we're not all called to. We're not called to sow sermons. We're called to sow seed. Isn't it? I mean, there's a place for sermons, but individually we call to sow seed. So this is the foundation for today. And so the disciples ask Jesus, what is the meaning of this parable? In other words, Jesus, give us, what is the heavenly meaning of this earthly story? And we pick it up in Mark 4, verses 14 to 20. And this is Jesus speaking. And he says this, a sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So Jesus uses this parable to describe 4 different types of soil. So he's talking about 4 different conditions of the heart. And we're going to just break these down a little bit. You okay? You with me? Okay, so we're going to start with the wayside. We're going to just quickly, it's going to come up on the screen, verse 15. These are the ones, just as a refresher, this is what it means. When they hear the word, Satan comes immediately to and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. The ones sown by the wayside. That word wayside, the Greek word is hodos. Hodos. And what a hodos, that's it. I like the repetition there. Little echo over there coming from the sound desk. Hodos. What is it? Hodos. That's it. And what a hodos is a well-trodden path. And what happens in a well-trodden path is that there's a lot of foot traffic or vehicle traffic on a well-trodden path. And what happens is the soil becomes compacted. And so it's really hard to dig it up, just about impossible. But through frequent use, none of the seeds can take root. So the sower sows the seed, and it just lands on top. It's just ripe for the picking for the birds of the air. And they come along, and they devour the seed. And Satan is likened to those birds of the air. When that soil lands on that hard soil, like that, it's ripe for the picking. It's not going to grow. It's not going to go down. Wayside, that wayside, I believe, represents the unrenewed mind. We have pathways of thinking. We have habits of thinking a certain way. Mindsets that can be established in our lives. But you know, 2 Timothy 3:16, it's not coming up on the screen, but I quoted it a couple of weeks ago, and I just want to draw something out of it. It says that the word of God is profitable for various things. And one of the things that it says it's profitable for is for training in righteousness. So in other words, we can be trained. We can train our brain. We can change the way we think. You know what? There's a woman that I follow on Instagram. Her name is Catherine Wolfe. And, I mean, I've never heard of her previously, but she has this ministry. This woman, this Catherine Wolfe, at the age of 26, 6 months after the birth of her first child, suffered a terrible stroke. She was in hospital for over a year at the age of 26. Her husband was studying law, and you know, they're this young family, and she basically became almost like a vegetable. She had to learn from being in this horrible, horrible place of being 26 years old, devastated by the stroke. She had to learn how to speak. She had to relearn how to walk. She had to learn how to swallow. She was completely connected to pipes and whatnot in the hospital. But she had to relearn everything. And I'm not saying we're not going to have a stroke, okay, in this place. But do you know what? It is possible to retrain our brain. You know, this expression called neuroplasticity. Christine, does that impress you that I know such a medical term? Yes. It means that we can create new pathways. So if our go-to response to a certain situation pre-salvation was, if you do this, I'm going to do that. Guess what? At salvation, we become new creatures in Christ. We need to retrain our brain, be renewed in the spirit, in our minds. We can change the way we behave by changing the way we think, but it's not about positive mental attitude. It's about retraining our brain with the Word of God. Start changing the way we think. Start establishing new neural pathways. We can do it. We can do it. You know, if in my back garden, there's a little path, there's this grass patch in the middle, and all around this grass patch is a path. And I don't walk on the grass, because if I walk on the grass, I'm going to form a path through the grass, and it's going to be compacted, and it's going to die. So I walk around, the long way around, this little pathway. But in the same way, if I wanted to, I could cut across. I could form a new pathway. I could decide, actually, I'm going to start paving this section in the middle. I can do that. And it's the same way in our thinking. This is how I used to respond. This is how I used to act. This is what I used to. This is the wayside. This is the soil falling on that hard ground. Unrenewed mind. This is the way I'm going to behave. I'm going to react now. No, you're not, sunshine. Okay, we're going to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. This is not the title of my message, but we are going to cover this soon in greater detail, okay? And I can't wait to share it. So, and you know, sometimes we don't mean to do this. It's just like a defense mechanism, you know? When you read the word and the word says, do this, and you think, I don't want to. That's a bit too close for comfort. No, I'm quite comfortable, thank you, with this attitude of mine. And God will bring it to you in another form, through the word, somewhere else. Someone's going to say something, but be aware. Let's just be, Ephesians 4:23, it says this, be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed constantly in the spirit of your mind. I like what the Phillips translation says this. Fling off the dirty clothes of the old way of living. Yeah, man, those old clothes stink. Hey, they stink. Do you ever take something out the wardrobe and you think, ooh, that's destined for the bin. Let's fling off those dirty clothes of the old way of living, which were rotted through and through, and with yourselves mentally and spiritually remade, put on clean, fresh clothes of the new life, which was made by God's design for righteousness and holiness. That's good news. That's what we're going to do. We're going to change our clothes. Okay? Everybody good? That's just the wayside. Time's running out. I better hurry up. So next one was the stony ground. The stony ground. Mark 4, verses 16 and 17 says this. Mark 4, 16 and 17. These are the ones sown on stony ground. They hear the word and they immediately receive it with gladness. They have no root in themselves. And so they only endure for a time. And afterward, when tribulation and persecution arises for the word's sake, they stumble. The thing is about this, and I think it's just this doesn't happen in this church. Okay, this is not this church. But sometimes I think what happens is that people go into a church and there's smoke machines. Praise God, we don't have one. But there's smoke machines and there's lights and there's rah-rah and it's so exciting. Yes, and it's fine, it's okay. I'm not against those things. We're just not going to have one. But you know what? If that's what's attracting you, it's not going to last. It's not going to last. We've got to fall in love with the Word of God. It's superficial. And what happens is those people, you think, where are they today? Where are those people that were so excited about the Word of God? Got a touch from heaven. They got touched. But where are they today? They endured for a short time. They've got no root in themselves. That Word hasn't gone down deep. And the Bible says as soon as the heat is turned up, they stumble. They fall away. They fall away. It's horrible. It's horrible. And the interesting thing about that is that when tribulation and persecution arises, it's not for you. The tribulation, the persecution is after the word. Satan is not after you. He's after the word of God. Because the seed, if he can steal that seed, that seed comes in, he's like, oh, praise God, I'm the righteousness of God. Boop, here comes the enemy. I'm not becoming demon conscious here. But if you allow, if you're attracted to the wrong thing, that seed's not going to, it's not going to go down deep enough. And then tribulation, persecution comes, and people say, you call yourself a Christian? There comes that old wayside thinking again. Well, you know, no, they get tripped up, and then they fall away. They fall away. So don't give away your seed. Don't give away your seed. Allow the seed, what God is speaking into your heart, allow it to germinate in your heart and produce in your life. You know when God's speaking to you. You know when God's on your case, or he's just encouraging you in a certain area. Embrace it. Embrace that. But allow it to produce fruit. Allow it to produce fruit. We don't give away the root. We give away the fruit. Let people eat of our branches. So the third type of soil, thorny ground. These are the ones sown amongst the thorns, verses 18 and 19. They hear the word, but the cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. This is the thorny ground. That seed, which we read about earlier, was sown amongst the thorns. The thorns were already there. They were already there. And then the seed was sown in. The thorns weren't removed. So in other words, the thorns and the seed of the word are sharing the same soil. They're sharing the nutrients and they're competing for the nutrients. You know, there's a saying that the word grows, well, the word grows there, and we water it, but so do the weeds. Whatever the word grows where it's watered, but so does everything else. Whatever you're watering will grow. But we need to make sure that we're plucking out those weeds and those thorns and giving that seed, the nutrients, the space for that seed to grow and develop. But if we don't, those weeds actually choke the word. They can choke, they can suffocate the word of God. And that scripture says, and it becomes unfruitful. So it was fruitful, but it becomes unfruitful just because of those three things. The cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things. And we're just going to look at those briefly. The cares of the world. We don't need to carry the cares of the world. 1 Peter 5 says, cast your cares. Cast your cares. We spoke about it 3 weeks ago, about what are you ruminating on. Remember, you all got a little text with a cow. Reminder, what are you ruminating on? What are you meditating on? We're not going to meditate on the cares, on the worries, on the concerns. We cast them onto the Lord. Matthew chapter 6, those words, do not worry. Do not worry. Those words appear 7 times in 9 verses. Do not worry. Emphasis, repetition. It's important. Do not worry. So cast your cares. Cast your cares. Deceitfulness of riches. In other words, materialism. Man, this world is crazy. This world is crazy with materialism. Absolutely crazy. We won't go there, but in Mark chapter 10, there's the account of a biblical influencer. If YouTube existed in biblical times, go to Mark chapter 10. There's a guy called the Rich Young Ruler. He had 12 million followers. No, he didn't. But he's like a modern day influencer, the rich young ruler. He goes to Jesus. He says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, you do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not covet, and all these things. And the guy says, I've kept the law. Like, really? All 10 of them? Really? And Jesus says, yes, but one thing you lack. You've kept the 10 commandments, but you lack the one thing. Go your way, sell all your possessions, give it to the poor, and then you'll have treasure in heaven, and come, take up your cross and follow me. And the guy, in verse 22, it says, he was sad at this word. This rich young ruler, he was sad. And he went away sorrowful, sorrowful, because he had great possessions. I'd just submit to you, the possessions had him. Let's not become so caught up in materialism. Let's not, praise God, I'm not young anymore. And I'm not rich either, and I'm not a ruler. Praise God. But let's make sure that we're not desiring. That's not where our heart is. That's not where our heart is. And then the desires for other things. There's nothing wrong with having a hobby. There's nothing wrong with enjoying sport. There's nothing wrong with going to the theater, going to an art, whatever. There's nothing wrong with it. It's good. It's actually good. We are a three-part being. It's okay to go for a meal. It's all right. You have permission. Do it. Enjoy your life. But do it in the right priorities. Psalm 37, my favorite scripture, says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That doesn't mean you're going to get a Lamborghini, okay? You're not going to get a Tesla, okay? You're not going to get any one of those things, but delight yourself in the Lord. Guess what's going to happen? He's going to change your desires. Suddenly, your desires no longer are, I want material possessions. Suddenly, it's like, oh, Lord, I want what you want. What do you want, Lord? Delight yourself in the Lord. And then Matthew 6:33, of course, seek first the kingdom of God. It's okay to go watch a game of football, not on a Sunday. It's okay, though. You know, you can enjoy sports. But let's get it into the right priority. Get it in, prioritize the right things. You know, in that scripture, it says, the desires for others' things enter in. Enter in. That actually means, metaphorically, it refers to other affections entering the soul. When you're talking about even the cares of the world, the cares, the distractions, cares, anxieties, worries, riches, materialism, don't allow to enter in. You know what? This thorny ground speaks to me of a divided heart, of a divided heart. And there's a scripture in Proverbs that says that a satisfied soul loathes the honeycomb. You know, so if you are full, when you're full of all this other stuff, even the sweetest things become undesirable, you know, because you're full. Your soul is full. It's satisfied. I don't need anything else. There's no time for Jesus. God who? Word? What word? You know, that's what it can be like. Listen to Psalm 119. It says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. That's what the word is like. You know, when I hear the word of God, I think, ooh, it's beautiful. It's dripping with sweetness. It's good for my soul. It's good for us. But you know what? It's springtime. So it's time. Let's have a spring clean. I don't know if you've got maybe a bed or a pot of some sort that sort of hung around over winter. But you'll notice maybe there's some little shoots coming up. But be careful, because the little weeds are also going to come up. Those thorns are going to come up. Let's pull out those thorns. Let's pull them out, remove them, and have a deep cleanse of the pot, of the garden, of your heart. Let's have a deep cleanse of our hearts. Let's declutter. Let's not have a divided heart. Let's have a loyal heart to the Lord. You know what? We've all got limited resources. All of us. We've only got so much energy. We've all only got 24 hours in a day. We've only got so much money. We're all limited. We are limited. I know there's preachers that'll say, unlimited. No, you'll soon burn out. We are limited with years, time given to us. We are limited. But so let's make sure that we're prioritizing our limited resources. I'm blessed. We are blessed for those that have made it to church today. Blessed. You've given priority to church, to God first. Let's ruminate. Let's give our priority to the word. Listen to Jeremiah 4:3. It says this, Break up your fallow ground. Break up your fallow ground. And listen to it. Sorry. And do not sow among thorns. Sorry. Break up your fallow ground. That fallow ground means the uncultivated ground. Maybe there's a section or an area of your heart that's a little bit fallow. It's been lying fallow. It's uncultivated. Maybe it's a little bit hard. Maybe it's a little bit rocky. Maybe it's a little bit cluttered. Let's break up the fallow ground. Let's have a spring clean. I'm all for spring cleaning. Let's have a spring clean. Deep clean. Sounds good, hey? And then finally, we're going to hit the good ground. These are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear some fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Wow. This is awesome. You know, right at the beginning of this parable, Jesus' first words, his first word, listen, in verse 3 and verse 9, the last word of his parable, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And in this parable, when Jesus explains it, and we've read it all today, in for all four of these soil types, each one of them hears the word. They all hear the word. The first three soil types, the Bible says, when they hear, when they hear, when they hear. But in the good soil, it says, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. That word to accept means to receive it, to receive the word of God, to take delight in the word of God. Look what Proverbs 4, 20 to 22 says. Proverbs 4 says, my son, my daughter, God saying this, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Another, lean in to what God is saying to you. When you're reading the Bible, when you're reading the word of God, when you're listening to it, when you're listening to a message, lean in. What is God saying? That's what's so good to see. Writing down. I love it. I love it. Pay attention to what God is saying. He says, do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. This is what the word of God does. This is the seed of the word, the power, the potential in the seed. Health, healing, salvation, wholeness from the word of God. The seed of the word of God brings life. It brings life. But we need to recognize the potential of the seed. So the purpose of the seed of the word of God is to produce in our lives a wonderful harvest. A wonderful harvest. 30, 60, 100 times more than what is sown. So if you receive a word, you receive a seed, and allow that seed to germinate in your heart, allow it to produce, accept it, receive it, it's going to produce 30, up to 100 times more than what was put in you. As long as we embrace it, as long as that seed finds that good soil, then it will produce. And the important thing is the seed that does the producing. We just have to do the bearing. We just have to say, look what God's done in my life. I'm not going the wayside anymore. I'm not going with my attitude anymore. Look what God's done. And all I've done is read the Bible. God's done something in my life. He's done something in my heart. It's awesome. Those who hear it, accept it, and then bear the fruit. So the impact of the word of God is enormous. It's life-changing. God has his eyes on the soil of our hearts. It's very important. It's very important to him, and it's very important for us. And it's even more important for the people around you. The reason is why? Because the condition of your heart will determine your life. It will determine your life. There's not one area of your life that will not be impacted by the condition of your heart. Proverbs 4:23, the next verse says, keep your heart with all diligence. For out of your heart spring the issues of life. Another version says, the condition of your heart determines the course of your life. So from this parable, we can see there are four hearts, but only one out of four produce fruit. 25% of the word produces fruit out in this parable. So we need to ascertain, where are we? What is the condition of the soil of our hearts? If we had to categorize, if we had to actually sit here now and think, what's the condition of my heart? Is it the wayside? Is it the stony ground? Is it the thorny ground? Or is it the good soil? You know, maybe it's that well-trodden path that we just can't seem to change. Maybe it's the stony ground, all froth and foam. You know, I just want the lights, but not enough substance. You know, are the cares of the world suffocating the word? Are the cares of the world becoming bigger to me than the word of God? You know, maybe you've got financial concerns. Maybe it's relational concerns. Maybe you're worried about your future. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe it's envy. Maybe it's strife. Maybe it's all these things. Or maybe you identify with the good soil. Maybe you do. And if that's you, praise God. But I personally think, okay, this is just my personal thinking, is that at times we go through seasons. We do go through seasons. And there are seasons when we are more fruitful than others. And there are seasons when also maybe certain areas of my life are a little bit closed. And I believe God today says, I want your whole heart. I don't want the walls coming up anymore, Sandy. I want your whole heart. He wants all of us. You know, Psalm 139 says, search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there's any wicked way in me. So let's ask God to shine the light of his word into our hearts. The Bible says, in him is no darkness or shadows. His word is a lamp, and a lamp illuminates the darkness. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, for your wonderful word. We thank you, Lord, that you have good plans for us, plans to prosper us, plans to give us a future and a hope. We thank you, Father, for the power of the seed of the word of God. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we can fall in love with your word in a greater measure. I thank you, Father God, that even in the parts of our lives, maybe, where we are closed, where we do have a no entry sign up, where we feel like, no, Lord, I don't want you messing in that part of my life. Lord, we want to be able to come before you and say, here I am. Shine the light of your word into my heart, into the deep recesses of my heart. And Father God, I thank you, though, that you do delight in the good soil. And I thank you, Father God, that you are the one who produces the fruit in our lives. And we give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise God.